It's 12:40 Central Time. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Our technical director is Jason Croft. The Regional Transportation Authority has filed a lawsuit. It's accusing United Airlines and the city of Sycamore, Illinois, of operating a sham office. Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley has more.
The Regional Transportation Authority says United Airlines falsely claimed to buy jet fuel out of an office in Sycamore to avoid paying taxes in Chicago. RTA Chief of Staff Jordan Matches says the Sycamore office is sparse, with empty tables and no computers, yet his organization estimates 1 million gallons of jet fuel are purchased each day.
We need to stop this. The RTA has a fiduciary duty to bring in as much money for the mass transit in Chicago, and we can't allow any company to dodge the proper sales tax.
The RTA filed the suit against Chicago-based United while deferring formal action against American Airlines, since the company is currently involved in bankruptcy proceedings. The lawsuit filed in the Circuit Court of Cook County comes about 1.5 years after the RTA filed similar lawsuits against far southern suburban municipalities Kankakee and Shanahan. I'm Jenna Dooley.
2012 was a challenging year for JPMorgan Chase and its CEO, Jamie Dimon. The bank racked up a $6 billion trading loss last year. Dimon cited managerial lapses for the losses, which he called inexcusable. Now banking regulators are exerting pressure on the banking giant. They are telling JPMorgan Chase to take action to improve its risk analysis and money laundering controls. NPR's Jim Zaroli has this report.
Last May, JPMorgan Chase acknowledged that it had lost billions of dollars in a hedging strategy gone awry, and that senior executives had been unaware of what was happening. JPMorgan Chase is one of the biggest and most respected banks on Wall Street, and the revelation underscored the systemic threat posed by such losses to the economy as a whole. Yesterday, the Federal Reserve and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency ordered the bank to improve its risk controls. They also said the bank had to correct deficiencies in the way it combats money laundering. But the bank received no fines or other penalties. Michael Greenberger is a professor at the University of Maryland Law School.
It's a step in the right direction, but overall, I think there are many, and I include myself, who watch these markets, who believe these banks are getting away with what amounts to traffic tickets to the rest of us.
The bank agreed to comply with the orders but admitted no wrongdoing. A committee set up by JPMorgan Chase's board is supposed to present a report today on how last year's losses occurred, but the board hasn't decided whether it will be released to the public. It is also deciding whether to reduce the bonuses of CEO Jamie Dimon and other top executives. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
Based on many popular truck commercials in recent years showing pickups plowing upward through mud and rocky terrain, you would think it's pretty important for the companies that produce those trucks to claim the top of the mountain. Not so, according to General Motors and Toyota, who have just traded places in global automotive sales. GM was number one in 2011. Toyota regained the top spot in 2012. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton has more.
After careening from back-to-back crises, first the recalls, then the tsunami, Toyota is number one in worldwide sales again. The company says it sold at least 9.7 million vehicles, it's still counting, passing GM, which sold 9.3 million. But Toyota executives like Wade Hoyt insist the title isn't important.
Nobody's breaking out the sake. We want to be number one in the hearts and minds of our customers, and if that makes us number one overall, that's just a bonus.
General Motors executives also say it doesn't matter. These days, the Detroit automaker is focused on growing its profitability, its vehicle quality, and its customer loyalty. Analyst Larry Dominique of TrueCar.com says GM appears to be doing all the right things, but the company has a long way to go before it can beat Toyota at the loyalty game.
It's not just the 60-year-old who owned five Toyotas. It's now their kids and their kids' kids. And this loyalty has grown to such a proportion that it makes up an extremely important part of their sales every year.
There is one company that does openly admit to wanting to be number one. That's Volkswagen. The company sold only 200,000 fewer vehicles last year than GM and thinks it can pass both GM and Toyota in the next few years. Dominique says as long as Volkswagen does it the right way, boosting quality, not incentives, that's okay. But he says things are so competitive in the auto industry now, the crown could bounce from Toyota to GM to Volkswagen and back again for years. For NPR News, I'm Tracy Samilton in Detroit.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone are probably best known as the creators of the Comedy Central animated series South Park. They also made waves on Broadway in recent years with their hit musical The Book of Mormon. Now they are starting their own production studio, and from the name, you'd assume they'd want to do something important. They are calling it Important Studios. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco has details.
Having success in TV, movies, and Broadway, Trey Parker and Matt Stone are now branching out with their own $300 million production company. They've named it Important Studios, and it's poised to approve TV, movie, and theater projects. It will give the moguls creative and financial control over what they do. In a news release, the partners quipped that having worked with several different studios, quote, "We came to realize our favorite people in the world are ourselves." The duo created the racy, satirical animated TV show and movie South Park, which is now in its 16th season on Comedy Central. Stone and Parker have already cut a sweetheart deal with the cable network that gave them half of all revenue not related to television, giving digital rights to South Park movies, soundtracks, and merchandise, even video games.
Oh my God! They killed Kenny!
South Park was one of the first TV shows to be streamed online, and its huge revenues from millions of fans will reportedly help finance Important Studios. So will backers from the Hollywood investment bank The Rain Group. Also, profits from the hit Broadway musical Parker and Stone created in 2011 about wide-eyed Mormon missionaries sent to a remote village in Uganda.
I believe that God has a plan for all of us. I believe. That plan involves me getting my own planet, and I believe...
The Book of Mormon has grossed more than $200 million. It won 9 Tony Awards in 2011, and productions are still on tour. The movie version is expected to be one of the first projects for Important Studios.
Hello.
Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
Hi, I'm Lisa Braltz. In March, I'll be hosting WILL-TV's cooking show, Family Dinner Favorites. We'll demonstrate recipes, talk about food and beverage pairings, and much more. We're also collecting your prized recipes for the Family Dinner Favorites cookbook. Please share your favorite recipes with us by Friday, January 25th. Send them to willmembership@illinois.edu or to recipes, WILL-TV, 300 North Goodwin Avenue, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. And if you'd like to cook with us on the show, let us know.
And here is the writer's almanac for Tuesday. It's the 15th of January, 2012. It's the birthday of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., born in Atlanta, 1929, the subject of many biographies since he was assassinated in Memphis in 1968. Taylor Branch wrote a trilogy about America during the King years, the trilogy Parting the Waters, Pillar of Fire, and At Canaan's Edge. It's the birthday of the French playwright Molière, born Jean-Baptiste Poquelin, baptized in Paris on this date, 1622, author of The School for Wives, Tartuffe, The Misanthrope. Although he poked fun at the bourgeoisie, Molière was careful to leave the church and the monarchy alone, as a result of which he never got into trouble, and Louis XIV liked his work just fine. Molière collapsed on stage during a performance, 1673, finished the show, died of tuberculosis later that night. Molière, who said, "All the ills of mankind, all the tragic misfortunes that fill the history books, all the political blunders, all the failures of the great leaders have arisen merely from a lack of skill at dancing." It's the birthday of Frank Conroy, born New York City, 1936, author of 5 books, including his memoir Stop Time and the novel Body and so on. Supported himself when he was young, playing piano in jazz clubs, and he was pretty good at it, too. He was invited to the University of Iowa as a last-minute teaching replacement, ended up running the Iowa Writers' Workshop for almost 20 years. Frank Conroy once scolded a student for using irrelevant details in her short story. He said, "The author makes a tacit deal with the reader. You hand them a backpack. You ask them to place certain things in it, to remember, to keep in mind as they make their way up the hill. If you hand them a yellow Volkswagen, and they have to haul this to the top of the mountain, to the end of the story, and they find that this Volkswagen has nothing whatsoever to do with your story, you're going to have a very irritated reader on your hands." It's the birthday of Andreas William Heinesen, born in Tórshavn, the capital of the Faroe Islands, in 1900, the most famous writer to come from the Faroe Islands, though he wrote his work not in Faroese, but in the official language of the islands, which at the time was Danish. And it's the birthday of the woman who was the model for Violetta in La Traviata, Marie Duplessis, born in Normandy in 1824. Her father sold her off when she was 13 to an elderly bachelor, and she was a kept woman most of her life and a courtesan after that. She had many lovers who supported her well. She came down with tuberculosis as she began an affair with Alexander Dumas when they were both 20 years old. She broke up with him. She began an affair with Franz Liszt and died at the age of 23, after which Alexander Dumas published his novel The Lady of the Camellias, which was about Duplessis, which was made into a play, which in turn inspired Verdi's opera La Traviata. Here's a poem for today by William Wordsworth. She dwelt among the untrodden ways. She dwelt among the untrodden ways, beside the springs of Dove, a maid whom there were none to praise and very few to love. A violet by a mossy stone, half hidden from the eye, fair as a star when only one is shining in the sky. She lived unknown, and few could know when Lucy ceased to be, but she is in her grave, and oh, the difference to me. She Dwelt Among the Untrodden Ways by William Wordsworth. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by Reputation.com, helping businesses improve their online reputation and reviews. Learn more at Reputation.com. Produced by Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
These days, people go to great lengths to shed the stress of daily life. There's acupuncture, deep tissue massage, meditation, yoga. At All Things Considered, we offer our own type of healing, invigorating news stories that span the rainbow of human experience. Nourish